All right, hopefully you have a handout tonight, and we'll go back into our study, book of Genesis, chapter number 14. Genesis chapter 14, and we'll read our text once again and begin reading in verse number 17, and we'll read through the verse number 23 as we look at the life of honor. Last week we looked at the life of honor is victorious and not victimized. Victorious and not victimized last week. And today we'll look at the life of honor is separated, not isolated. Separated, not isolated. And there is a difference. So let's look in our chapter once again, Genesis chapter 14 and verse number 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheva, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, a king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram, the of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand." And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself." And Abram said unto the king of Sodom, "I lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even a shoe latchet, and that I will not make anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich." All right, so we're going to go ahead, and I don't want to do any review of last week. As I mentioned, we'll talk about number one last week, victorious, not victimized. And tonight we'll look at life of honor is separated, not isolated. And it's a shame to say there are some among Christian groups that are more concerned about isolation than they are just separation. Folks, we have to live among folks in order to reach them, but we don't have to be like them. Now, as we look at our story here tonight, this is a battle that Abraham was in by choice. He made the choice to go to battle, to go back and to get his nephew and his family. And we've already seen that Abraham was a stranger and a sojourner last week. However, he didn't take this to mean that a life of separation, and here's our first blank, said the life of separation meant a life of isolation. There is quite a difference. One thing of being separated from the world, and the Bible says to come out from among them and be separate from the Lord, but we don't fully isolate ourselves. And if we go back here a few verses, he says he was in the world, but not of the world. Big difference. In the world, but not of the world. And even those around Abraham knew that he was different from them as well as Lot. And dear friends, that tells something others about us when our neighbors, our co-workers, those we see in the community on a regular basis, know something about us and specifically recognize who we are in Christ. Here back in our chapter, and back in verse 13 of verse 14, it says, "And there came one that escaped and told Abraham the Hebrew." Now, interesting fact, this is the first time the word Hebrew is used in your Bible. Right here in Genesis chapter 14. And so it's important to know what it's referring to. So this is being the first time the word Hebrew is used in Scripture. It means one from beyond. One from beyond. And it communicates the idea that we are outsiders. We are different. You know, we are to be different. We are, and not in different, how's Brother Enoch doing when he preaches? Like that. We're not that type of different, though some of us may be a little quirky, but we are to be different as believers and as Christians, and the world around us should know that. I'll give you an illustration. Some years ago, I was out visiting and making some visits, and later that day, I had to bring my car in for some repairs and had an opportunity of being the only one there. Toward the end of the day, the guy told me, "Just bring it in such and such time before I close the business, and I'll take care of you." And I went in, and I had an opportunity as the owner doing the work. It was just me and him. So he had the car up on the lift. We began talking a little bit, and I began to tell him who I was as a pastor. And then he goes, "Oh, boy." I said, "What does that mean?" He goes, "Oh, well, I guess an invitation is coming." Well, I said, "Well, of course it is, unless you don't want one, and we'll just skip right by it. We'll talk about baseball, football, or how much you're going to charge me to fix my car." And he just laughed, and we talked a little bit more. And he made the comment that him and his girlfriend had been going to a church, but they weren't happy. and haven't been in the last couple of weeks. I said, well, what's wrong? He said, well, I don't like the music. I went to church, not a rock concert. If I wanted a rock concert, I wouldn't go to church. I go to a rock concert. I said, well, why don't you come over and visit us? We don't have rock concerts. We don't have those things. In fact, we don't have the video preachers. Our pastor is here in the flesh every service unless he's on vacation or sick. And so we invited him to church. Long story short, we did get him to visit there a little bit, but didn't stay very long. I guess the preaching was too hot. Who knows? But even here, this person, young person, and his family realized, he said, there is and there should be a difference. My pastor used to always say, when you come to church and listen to the music, it shouldn't remind you of the honky-tonks you used to go to. It should be different. And does the world see me as an outsider? How does the world see me in my life? Or do they see me separated but not isolated? See, we are to be separated but not isolated from the world around me. So how do people see us? Do they apologize for their language? Do they apologize for their behavior when you're around? Or they remember who's in the crowd when they're talking? And we have to be among folks to be a witness, but we should be separated again and not isolated. I knew and met a missionary a long time ago. And they were so isolated and so different that they even built a fortress where they live with these 10, 12-foot walls, even higher than the ones in Arizona. But the difference is, the purpose is, he didn't want his kids to see how the outside world lived. I thought, man, if that's not isolation, I don't know what is. And not only that, they didn't want others seeing them, how they would ever. And by the way, it didn't last that long on the mission field before coming back to the States. See, the life of honor that is separated, but not isolated, finds itself independent from the world, but here's our next blank, but not indifferent to its needs. We can't be indifferent to the needs of those that live in the world today. Again, we can live differently, and they can know that we're different. I mean, nowadays, it's a little bit different, today's society. But if you lived in a military community, usually when you saw a guy walking around with a high and tight, you knew he was in the military. He had a good, sharp haircut, you knew he was in the military. They stood out for who they were. And back in the day, and even for some of you older gentlemen that are older than I am that served in the military, they even talked a little bit different, not because they were Christians, because it was against guidelines to behave unbecomingly, the way you act, the way you talk, and other things. And we as Christians, we have a guidebook of the Word of God, and we should realize that we as well, we represent the Almighty God, the Lord's army, and therefore we should conduct ourselves in such a way, dress in such a way, talk in such a way as the situation is fitted for that situation. Now, let's ask a simple question. Who was able to do more, Abraham or Lot? I mean, we read our Bible, we find out who did more for the Lord, where the fruit was, what the results were, and it definitely, even though Lot had the answers, he had been taught the right things, there wasn't no fruit. I believe, again, their history answers that question. See, the most effective way to serve the world is to be faithful to witness and separate from it. But again, separation is not isolation. And there is a distinct difference. I can separate and walk away when I know things are wrong. I can choose to stay away from certain areas because I'm concerned about the testimony that it may cause me to have. But I don't have to isolate myself wholly, completely, because I'm concerned of what people might think. Problem is with that, when you begin to isolate yourself, you've got no one left to talk to. You've got no one left to minister to. You have no one left to be a blessing or an encouragement to. Back, I don't need to read our text again, but we'll go on to number three. Life is of honor is separated, not isolated. And number three, the life of honor is focused on the provider, not the provision. How often do we rejoice on what we receive and forget about where it came from? Don't want to forget, not just the gift or the focus on the provider, not the provision. Now we come to this most substantial part of this passage that we've already read. I don't see needing to read it again. But this would impact Abraham's future and give insight regarding his focus in his life. It stands as one of the clearest choices ever presented to man in Scripture, it comes at a time of great victory for Abraham with the choices he made. And by the way, how we handle victory can be very insightful as the way we handle defeat. We are to be gracious winners as we are gracious losers. We're to be gracious in victory and triumphs that God provides, but also in setbacks, knowing that God is in control. And I read a letter today from a friend that the theme was with their mission agency is that God can. God can. And the subscript small letters, God is able. But guess what? Just because God can and God is able doesn't mean God will. I mean, sometimes he protects us. Sometimes the answer is no. But sometimes, often, praise God, it's yes. But sometimes it's no as well. Now, the question remains, who will Abraham choose to honor, himself or his God? And we know the answer. Abraham stands between the king of Salem and the king of Sodom. The king of Salem and the king of Sodom, he stands between these two kings here in our story. It is interesting that Melchizedek did not come to Abraham when he was pursuing, King Chedorlaomer, King Chedor. Why didn't he come then? Why did he choose? How did he choose when he went to battle? But he went to Abraham when he was being pursued by the king of Sodom. He asked for help. God knew that a deeper unity with him was needed, with a deeper conflict with the enemy that arose. Think about that for a moment. There was a deeper meaning here. There was a deeper need here. And he knew exactly where to go to. So let's look a little bit about these two kings. As here, I've got two little columns there. The king of Salem, and that name Salem just simply means peace. Peace. And you go over to the other side, Bera, king of Sodom, that's simply burning. Now, of course, we know the story behind Sodom and Gomorrah, burning. Everything was destroyed. And then back to the king of Salem, he was considered priest of the Most High God. And Bera, as we see early in our chapter in verse 2, means son of evil. Obvious distinction here. And then we see under king of Salem that he offered the blessings of God. But Bera, king of Sodom, offered the bounty of the world. And then we see king of Salem, we see as a picture of Christ, and then Bera, the picture of the world. Now, have you ever become so focused on what God can do for you that you've forgotten him? In other words, that time when we're asking. Are we so focused on what God can do for us that we forgot about our relationship with him? I mean, it's not, as I heard one guy say a long time ago, it's not rubbing that old bottle for the genie to come out and give you three wishes. That's not how God works. He should be a God that we desire relationship with, whether we have a need or we have no needs. Whether things are good or things are bad. It's a relationship we want to keep intact and to grow and to move forward and always abounding. Again, as we go back here, as I mentioned earlier, Melchizedek went to Abraham when he was being pursued by the king of Sodom. And there's without a doubt because he knew the difference and the need and the help and the battle that he was facing. And we know as well, there are some things that I may have a problem with that I have no problem with going and talking to one of the men in my church. But there are some things I know I need to go directly to God. I mean, right now, I need to talk to my God. I need to make sure talking with him and to make sure that he intervenes on my behalf. See, isn't the blesser more significant than the blessing itself? We've all experienced, I think I mentioned it before, especially the little kids at Christmas and at their birthdays, they open the box, they get all excited of the new toy, and they spend more time playing with the box than they do the toy. And it's kind of the same way with us if we're not careful. We need to remind ourselves that the blesser is much more significant and important in our life than the blessings that he provides, that relationship. Now, have you ever been given a great gift, but instead of focusing on the goodness and greatness of the giver, you focused on the greatness of the gift? Now, don't misunderstand, there's a hard balance in this one. I am grateful for my salvation, but without him, I wouldn't have that. I need to make sure when I'm rejoicing and praising God for my salvation, I'm praising God for Him to begin with, who gave His Son that I might have that. And sometimes we forget about the blesser, the one providing that, who provides all the gifts that we need. Do you want your marriage restored more than you want the restorer? Several questions here. Do you want your provisions increased more than you want the provider? Do you want your children to return to God more than you want the God who can return them? Wonderful story with our cantata along those lines coming up Sunday night. Beautiful story. If you want what God can do for you more than you want God, you have chosen to honor yourself. If you want God more than what He can do for you, you've chosen to honor God. And this becomes the life of honor. See, it doesn't matter what God can do for me. That's all gravy. My relationship with Him is the main thing. And all the outpouring is just extra, all the good stuff on top, the Cool Whip, the gravy, however you want to put it, back east and down south, it's the gravy that we just have extra. I love this wonderful meal Michelle has laid out. I can't wait. Oh, there's more. I can pour gravy all over it. You know, same thing with the Lord. He is the provider, and the blessings He provides is the extra. But the extras don't come or understood without the relationship with Him. And these kings, especially this one king, he knew the source and where to go to. Genesis chapter 12. I think I included that in your notes, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Gentlemen, that's why it's a good idea to get married and not live with your mother-in-law. Amen. It's biblical. Verse number 2. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. How easy it would have been for Abraham to receive from the son of evil, the king of burning, Bera, all the loot that was offered him. It was the visible against the invisible, if you think about it. He says, you take of all of this, let's let me take the people. But he says, no, I'll walk away from that, not knowing what God has for me, but He has something for me. Door number one, door number two. Remember, what was that? Let's make a deal. Was that the old show? Was it, let's make a deal. Door number one, door number two, or door number three. Folks, I don't care what's behind there. I just want what God has for me. And that's exactly the choice here that he made. He's going to go, I don't care of all this loot, all this stuff that you say I can have. No, I'm not. I'm looking to God. I don't want anyone saying that you bought me. I'm sold out to him. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, notice this, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Is it not a truthful saying when someone asks you, how are you, to say, better than I deserve? I mean, hey, God is good. That's right, all the time. He knows what we need and what we don't need, no matter what we think we may or may not need. Who are you choosing to honor, friends? God or self? What will you choose? Will it be the abundance of physical blessings? Or will the source of blessings be the focus of your attention? Let's, again, it's a good fitting. Throw this in and we'll almost finish. Christmas is coming. Get excited about all the gifts. But remember, it's because of Him, because of the baby Jesus. We celebrate it, enjoy it, exchange gifts, give the gifts, enjoy your family, enjoy the meal, but don't leave Jesus out of it. Make sure He is the focus. Read the Christmas story. Enjoy all the blessings that God has provided, but make sure everything is pointed back. We're doing all of this because God loved us so much that He gave His Son, who gave His life on Calvary that we might have eternal life. And because of all of that, we get the gravy of Christmas and the blessings and all those things. And we must not forget that. When Abraham chose to honor God rather than honor himself with the bounty of the world that was offered to him, he was saying, in effect, take the world, but give me Jesus. Hey, you can have the world. You can have it all. I'll have Jesus. Folks, I don't know about you, during that time, it had to be difficult. And to win the battle, this other king say, look, hey, what? You take all the bounty, you take all that, just let me have the people. And he says, no, no. You can't buy me. You can't buy me. You can't buy me off. I will trust God for my needs. Lot should have said the same thing, but he sadly returned to his life of compromise. He made his choice. Abraham now lives by the blessings and honor of the Lord, not the help and the bounty of the world. And dear friends, Christmas is coming, as I said. Things are out there. People are there. We're going to be among them. But let's remember, separation, not isolation. Take the opportunity to witness, to be a blessing. Bend over backwards if you have to. Smile, bite your tongue, but say, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, to make sure that you are seen first. I enjoy it for no other reason is, man, I get to say Merry Christmas all month long. Sometimes I go in into January and say it anyway. And some people look at me and say, Merry Christmas. Christmas is already over. I said, yeah, but it's coming again. You know, let's be separated, but not isolated. And let's make sure that we choose and the things that we do, that the bigger deal is made of the provider and not just the blessings that he provides. Let's pray. Lord, we love you again so much for you. Thank you for your goodness, your blessings upon us, the joy of service, the joy of fellowship. Father, thank you that we, your people, could choose to honor you in every aspect of our life. Father, help us always remember, no matter what the devil offers, no matter what the world offers, what you have for us is so much better for us, and that will help us to grow closer to you. Father, help us to be ready and prepared to bless and to thank the provider and not just the provisions that you provide. And Father, help us always put you first. And then, Lord, once again, help us to remember the reason for the season. As we say Merry Christmas, as we exchange gifts and we talk to others, make sure that we can always bring it back to our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Now, Father, bless as we dismiss. Bless our fellowship. Bless the rest of our work week. May you be uplifted and glorified in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as always, God loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be helped to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You are dismissed.